Rat Race, written by Dick Francis and read by Ian Ogilvie.
I picked four of them up at White Walton in the new Cherokee 6300 that never got a chance to grow old. The pale blue upholstery still had a new leather smell, and there wasn't a scratch on the glossy white fuselage. A nice little aeroplane, while it lasted. They'd ordered me for noon, but they were already in the bar when I landed at 11:40, three double whiskies and a lemonade. Identification was easy. Several chairs round a small table were draped with four lightweight raincoats, three binocular cases, two copies of the Sporting Life, and one very small racing saddle. The four passengers were standing nearby in the sort of spread-about group indicative of people thrown together by business rather than natural friendship. They were not talking to each other, though it looked as though they had been. One, a large man, had a face full of anger. The smallest, evidently a jockey, was flushed and rigid. The two others, an elderly man and a middle-aged woman, were steadfastly staring at nothing in particular, in the way that meant a lot of furious activity was going on inside their heads. I walked towards the four of them, across the large lounge reception room, and spoke to an indeterminate spot in midair. "Major Tideman?" The elderly man who said yes had been made a major a good long time ago, nearer 70 than 60, but still with a tough little body, wiry little moustache, sharp little eyes. He had thin salt-and-pepper hair brushed sideways across a balding crown, and he carried his head stiffly, with his chin tucked back into his neck, tense, very tense, and wary, looking at the world with suspicion. He wore a lightweight, speckled fawn suit, vaguely reminiscent in cut of his military origins, and unlike the others, had not parked his binoculars, but wore them with the strap diagonally across his chest and the case facing forwards on his stomach like a sporran. Club badges of metal and coloured cardboard hung in thick clusters at each side. "Your aeroplane is here, Major," I said. "I'm Matt Shaw. I'm flying you." He glanced over my shoulder, looking for someone else. "Where's Larry?" he asked abruptly. "He left," I said. "He got a job in Turkey." The Major's gaze came back from the search with a click. "You knew," he said accusingly. "Yes," I agreed. "I hope you know the way." He meant it seriously. I said politely, "I'll do my best."